Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 62 from April the 3rd of 1993. I'm sitting here with Doc and Harper on this beautiful Friday morning, October the 6th, 2017. That's right, we record these way out in advance just to make sure they hit in time. Doc, how you doing this morning, man?
Man. I'm just ready to talk some Smoky Mountain these days. It's about the only thing that keeps me from doing the damn Von Erich thing.
That's nice.
Because I'm nicer than either one of you two guys, when we really boil it down, I'm sitting here on an early Friday morning, and I'm a little concerned about one of my co-hosts here, and he's a dangerous path.
The hurricane that's coming?
There's a hurricane coming.
It'll be a month old by the time this airs.
If Harper's not with us, then everybody'll know why.
Oh, shut up. Harper, how you doing this morning, man?
Fucking scared.
You ain't scared. You just got done jerking off the Golden Girls, and
that's nice. It was a good one. It was the one where Blanche got her plastic surgery.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
And on the record, Harper has said, man, he would have banged Blanche back in the day.
Right. Well, who would?
Oh, yeah.
So here's a question. What does Hardbody Harper's hurricane preparations look like?
I usually get about 2-3 cases in case, so, you know, when a bar shuts down.
Because there's water and beer, right? I mean, there you go.
I used to do that back in the day. I used to get 2 or 3 cases just in case.
Yeah. Smart move.
Necessary essentials for a hurricane.
Yeah.
Fuck the food.
Fuck that water.
You know, the other time that I would go do that, because we'd, you know, living in a prairie, we don't have hurricane risk. Man, they start talking about an inch of ice or something, I'd be like, shit, I got to get to the beer store now, because the beer store won't even open. I've walked to the beer store in snow, but I'm like, if it ices, the beer store can't open, so I better get down there quick. You got to think about these things, Mike. I mean, shit, okay. You really got to prepare, because beer stores are everywhere up here. But to get your sweet, sweet Hennessy, you got to plan, because they don't sell that after 9 o'clock.
I plan well in advance. Don't get me wrong. All right, let's get started. So I was corrected pre-show. I said this was a new location, and to me it's a new location because we haven't been here in a while. But we are in Heysai High School in Heysai, Virginia. Just a quick note. This is airing on April the 3rd of 1993, but the Bluegrass Brawl was on April the 2nd of 93. So here's the key to what you're about to see for the next three episodes, 62, 63, and 64. All of these were taped, if records are correct, March the 22nd of 93, which was 10 days prior to the Bluegrass Brawl actually happening. So I just wanted to point that out. FYI also, reported attendance for this venue in Heysai, 700 people. Doc, you kind of raked me over the coals earlier pre-show when I said new location. Do you have the demographics? You said no. But I'll let you handle how you're going to handle the demographics since we've been here already.
Well, I thought it would be a good idea for you to drive traffic back to our previous shows, and you obviously whiffed on that.
Blow me, motherfucker.
Harper and I both knew all the demographics at the ready, and you didn't, which is not uncommon around here.
I do more prep than both of y'all combined.
So did you say we're at the high school this time?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you will remember, and I'm sure everybody that's listening will remember, it's just you that can't remember, episodes 39, 40, and 41 were at the Sand Lick Elementary School in Heysai, Virginia.
Okay, I do remember Sand Lick.
But what's really important here is that you said there's a reported attendance of 700.
Yes.
In 2000, they had 200 people that lived in Heysai. By 2010, it more than doubled to 500. I'm not real sure what happened there. But either way, however you slice it, the attendance at this high school was well higher than the town population. So we're drawing from all over the county here, pal. We're in Western Virginia. We're locked and loaded. We've put some dip in our lip. We're ready to jack some jaws. And when we do all that, we need to understand that the jaw jacking will be done by white people, because we are 97.85%
God.
God damn.
That's crazy, bro. Black people, Mike, must be like Bigfoot to these people.
Mike, you shouldn't even drive through there in case your car breaks down. You should just stay out on the interstate. Away
me
from
and my me and my buddy Philip Allen will stay away from Hayside. Philip Allen on Facebook was always commenting on.
He needs to just stay with that mouth on him. He needs to just stay north of the Mason Dixon line altogether, or he's going to find himself in a whole mess of trouble down here. The South doesn't care for that kind of mouth on that kind of person, if you know what I mean. Not me. I'm talking about the real South, over to the east a little bit, right?
That's
the Southeast.
Nice. That's nice. Philip Allen, I got your back, buddy.
Well, and so there's if we laughed about this at the time, but there's a Subway, not like underground, but where you, a sandwich artist kind of Subway in town. So hopefully everybody had like coupons, you know, at the show for $1 off a foot long. And surprisingly enough, only 11% of the population is below the poverty line. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. There must be something going on in Hayside we don't know about, because the population is very low, but they mention them a lot on the Smoky Mountain, like on the local promo. So that it tells me they go there a lot. They increased in population in the 2000s, and only 11% is below the poverty line. So there's something going on that's generating some money there. We just need to figure out whether or not it's above board or not, if it's a meth industry or if it's an actual business of repute of some sort. So anyway,
I have a plan or something,
right? Like they're, you know, manufacturing ass dildos or something, butt plugs. Hard to say.
Better call Saul, asshole.
So anyway, we are back in Hayside. It feels good. Let's go.
All right, so let's get started. Top of the show, Dutch and Bob opening things up. And Dutch says at the start, his guest today on Down and Dirty will be Tracy Smothers, who wants to be the next Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight champ, and will have Jimmy Golden face Bobby Eaton for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Beat the Champ TV title. Now, right after that, they go right into it. It's a promo right off the top, and it is Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy. And I'm just going to put this out there in advance. This is one of my favorite ones. I've been waiting for this one again. This is another one I've been waiting for to air, so here it is.
Hey fans, we're at ringside right now with the legendary Mr. Ron Wright and, of course, his man, the Dirty White Boy. But, Mr. Wright, Tennessee chain matches, they're nothing new to you. As a matter of fact, you're the master of the Tennessee chain matches.
Yeah, you're right, but let me tell you something. I didn't know just how red-necked, ignorant, backwards these hillbillies here in the South were, till I got out of the South and got up north. You know, I had to get even up North Carolina to Duke University to find out what was wrong with my bad heart. I couldn't even, I thought the whole world had a smog over it from pollution, and I got up New York 2 weeks ago, and the Dirty White Boy took me to eye specialist, and they burnt my eyeballs with laser, and now I can see everything's clear. But I'm telling you, it's a shame and a disgrace, but now I've come down with something else. They found out up there in New York, I've been having attacks. Nobody down here could find out what it was. And they found out I've got asthmatic bronchitis. It had been bothering me to death. And them New York doctors, they were getting that cleared up on me. But now let me get back to these chain matches, Bob. I am the master. I am the walking, talking, living legend in the world of these chain matches. I had 513 of these chain matches, and I only lost one of them in a 22-year span, and some idiot threw a fifth bottle of liquor from up in the balcony, hit me in the head, and knocked me out. It's the only reason I lost that. But I've hunted the world over, finding somebody that could get in my shoes and fill them and take care of this chain and do what got to be done, and I found it right here and my beloved Dirty White Boy. He's going to carry on. I feel sorry for anybody that puts his name on the line and gets in the ring with him in one of these chain matches.
All right, White Boy, you got the ball. What you going to do with it?
I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to do with the ball. You know, me and Mr. Wright's been in New York City, and I've been going down to Fort Apache in the Bronx, which is the worst place on the face of the earth. I'd climb a street ladder about two, anywhere from 2 to 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd bust it out with this chain. I'd come back down, there'd be a gang waiting on me. After I whooped all them, went and had me a little lunch, went back and checked on Mr. Ron Wright. So I've been training real, real hard. But Tracy Smothers, take a real good look at this chain. 12 foot long, big boy, and I don't think that you've got enough guts to put your wrist at the other end of this. And if you do, it's real simple, Smothers. I'm going to stomp your stinking guts, and then I'm going to shove his chain straight down your throat.
All right. There it is right there, fans, from the Dirty White Boy and Mr. Ron Wright. Let's go to the ring.
Harper, you want to go first? I don't.
It's just hilarious, huh? They fucking burned his eyes with lasers.
Doc, you want to add anything?
So I'm taking notes. I wasn't exactly sure, so I'm going to open this up to the crew. How does one go about spelling the word ignorant? I went, just so you know, I went with I-G-N-E-R-T. Ignorant.
Close enough. Yeah.
I like how he's clearing up some conditions, but then taking on new ones with asthmatic bronchitis with a man of his age, I don't think is a good thing at all. The other thing is, 513 chain matches. First of all, the fact that he didn't say I've had 500, I've had 513 is a great touch because it makes it seem like he's really counted them. But do you know how many he would have to have every year for that long to total 513 chain matches? That's like Ric Flair and the 10,000 women. I mean, when you start to put together the math, it's like,
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get.
If you don't poke into it too much, though, it's great. And then the last thing I had was, it must be really hard, yet he does it, for Dirty White Boy to stand there and let Ron Wright just show out like a motherfucker and then deliver a really strong promo and not let Ron Wright again. I mean, and he's done it before, but not let Ron Wright suck the entire oxygen out of the promo and still save a little bit for Dirty White Boy to come in and deliver his message, which again, there's nothing pop-worthy, but I thought he delivered a real solid, strong promo that said, I'm the champ, kind of.
I don't know how. Well, one, at the beginning, Bob Caudle pops. Like, right when he starts in about the Southern doctors. Bob, if you look at him, he's laughing. He puts his head down because he can't hold it in because Ron popped him. And then, but for then Bob to recompose himself, and the Dirty White Boy to compose themselves and stand there and not laugh at the pure fucking stupidity of this promo, and I mean stupidity in the most sincere form, is a feat in itself. And yes, then for Dirty White Boy to then come behind and follow up with his own promo is hard. This was so freaking ridiculous on so many levels. He blames the Southern doctors. Talks about he had to get the Northern doctors. They burnt it, like Harper said. They burnt my eyeballs with a laser. What the hell, man? And then you said, Doc, he's coming up with new ailments that they're fixing for him. Oh man, this was so good. This is gonna be a promo of the week coming up on the other show. We're gonna have to do this again, just so the people that don't listen to this would get theory.
Who doesn't listen to this?
Yeah. There are people that don't, man. I don't. Some people just don't like Smoky Mountain for whatever reason.
You know what?
Just listen to NWA.
Those people are ignorant.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, the numbers are better on the other show than this one.
Really?
That's why I say that. Yeah.
Fuck them.
So why are we even doing this? Hit the tagline. Fuck it.
Well, I mean, they're not bad, but one does better than the other. I'm just pointing that out.
So one is like 75,000 and the other one's like 74,000? Or what are we talking here?
Yeah, sure. That sounds good. That sounds like a good number. You want to go with that one? Yeah, we'll go right there. All right. So, Harper, anything else from this promo?
No.
Just good. Just good stuff.
Yeah, he's just fucking great.
He really is. He's freaking awesome. He's so good. So, after that match, you heard Bob Caudle throw us to the ring. It's the Rock and Roll Express versus Mike Sampson and the Avenger. Trivia question. Doc, you know who the Avenger is?
Well, that was my trivia question to you, pal, because I do know. Harper, do you know who
Captain America?
Do you know who the Avenger is here?
I don't know. Who is it?
Well, it's a debut by a name, but he's under a hood.
Is it?
Go ahead, Doc.
It's Chris Candido.
Right, yeah, Chris Candido.
You can look. You can see how he's moving in the ring and tell it's him.
You sure could.
Looks just like him. Movement-wise, I mean, obviously you can't see his face. But so, in this match, Dutch references the Rock and Roll Express and the Stud Stable feud is far from over, and Bob Cottle mentions the three-team feud between them with the Rock and Roll Studs and Heavenly Bodies. The thing was, the match actually hadn't happened yet, although this is airing after, like I was saying. It's about a five-minute match. Rock and Roll Express hits the Avenger with a double drop kick. Rock and Roll get the win. Doc, what did you have from the match? Anything?
I thought it was a long match by Smoky Mountain standards, because you don't know that this is Candido. That doesn't mean anything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere during the match, Dutch started telling Caudill that he thought they filmed Deliverance with some of these people in the audience.
That's an old line, isn't it? From Cornette. Remember when Cornette said that?
Yeah, you still haven't watched Deliverance, have you?
No, I don't have a desire. I just finished binge watching Breaking Bad. I mean, give me some
way to catch up here.
Bro, that show is the bomb. Oh, I just wish they would have killed off the wife. She deserved a slug to the fucking head. She was a bitch. Yeah, I agree. Harper, what'd you think from the match?
Like Doc said, it went longer than I thought it was gonna go. And it seemed like the other two guys got more shit in.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way of knowing this, but I think they were trying to just obviously all you're ever doing.
Candido.
Well, no, I think, remember, this is taped before Bluegrass Brawl, so they're just buying minutes on the TV at this point, because they got to get through this taping and not reveal anything that's going to happen after Bluegrass Brawl.
Okay, so that's an interesting point, and I can't believe I'm saying that, and I can't believe you're actually doing it, making one, but I thought all the matches on this show were kind of long, so that tends to make sense.
I'm telling you, that's what he was doing.
Don't gloat, because 62 episodes in, you finally made a point worth repeating.
Says the guy who's never taken a back bump in his life. Let's keep going.
This isn't about taking bumps, pal. So, it's about watching wrestling.
Yeah, all right. So after the match, Rock and Roll Express cut a promo, and let's hear what they have to say.
All right, fans, with us right now, Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson. Robert, a lot of guys are coming out and saying, who is the roughest, who is the toughest team? But the street fight's going to settle that.
You know, everybody wants to know who the toughest team is. Me and brother, we've been together for a long time. Four-time World Tag Team Championship. That means we are a tough team. Let me tell you something, Stud Stable, Heavenly Bodies, especially you, Jim Cornette. All y'all guys get together, because only one place, one good team. You look at them right here, Rock and Roll Express.
Robert.
That's right, Bob. One thing is I'm proud to be alive here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, where it's all happening, baby. But, like Robert said, we have got tag teams coming out with three different ones in the ring, street fight. That means they can bring anything to the ring, and we can take it from you and shove it up where the sun don't shine. But like we said before, there's only room for one tag team around here, and it's the Rockin' Roll Express.
It's going to be something, fans, at Street Fight Showdown. We'll be back right after this.
Okay, Doc, go first. What'd you think?
Rectal insertion. Count me in.
Man, Ricky says that a lot, though, too.
Yeah, he's going to say it a lot more coming up, too, in subsequent weeks, in case you were, you know, going to miss that particular comment. I just thought Ricky was feeling it there. I mean, they're starting to, I know the timeline's messed up, but they're just in this feud. I mean, this feud has been going for a while, and it's a thing, as we're going to see next week.
Yeah, we are. Harper, anything from you?
Yeah, it seemed like Ricky was really into this, I guess, because it was his first time. I guess this was a new, fresh crowd.
Yeah.
So I think he was kind of laying it in more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got energy because this is the beginning of a taping.
Right.
They aren't I mean, Cornette has said it. We've said it a few times. And Jim told us that. He's like, these TV tapings are 3 to 4 hours every time. So you get to the beginning of them, you got energy, man. By the time you get to that third one, fourth one, it's like, woof, the air's leaving the building, man.
We talk about a product we love on Friday mornings, and we do two of these back-to-back. And by the end of the second one, I'm just like, can y'all motherfuckers shut up so we can quit talking about this? Imagine, like, the TV taping.
Yeah, well, 4 hours.
Hopper can tell you because he's had to do it for post-production.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
I mean, y'all have gone like 10, 12 hours straight, haven't y'all?
Yeah, it gets to the point where it's like, okay, I used to like wrestling. Slam. Right, exactly. Flex, one, two, oh, kicked out. Oh, almost. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough after a while. All right, let's keep going. So, I've got a note to play the local promo. Did you, Hopper? The next one? With Tracy?
No.
Okay, what about you, Doc? Did you want to play it?
I got Tim Horner next.
No, that's after Down and Dirty. Play it if you want.
Right. Yeah.
Play it if you have something. I'm good if you skip it.
Well, Dirty White, I'm sorry. Let me just say this, because it's real. It's not a long one. I don't know why, but Tracy pops me every time he says, "I'm going to be on you like a duck on a June bug."
That was my one line out of the whole thing as well, was duck on a June bug, because it's a southern thing. So
here, I'm going to play just Tracy's part, not the rock and rolls, because the rock and rolls is nothing. It's and Tracy's part is real short, so here it is.
For the heavyweight title, it's Tracy Smothers against the Dirty White Boy in Paintsville.
That's exactly right, White Boy. April 9th in Paintsville, Kentucky. You know, I never said you wasn't rough, and I never said you wasn't tough. I've had some of the toughest matches I've ever had in my life with you in Paintsville. I'm just like all them folks that live in Paintsville. I've worked and I've fought and I've scratched for everything I've ever got in this world. April 9th, Paintsville, Kentucky, Smoky Mountain heavyweight title, White Boy. I'm going to be on you like a duck on a June bug. I'm going to load my lip with some dip, and I'm going to jack some jaw. Southern style. See you in Paintsville. Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Okay, so that I don't know why, but it makes me laugh every single time. All right, so after that, well, Doc, did you have anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay, Hopper, anything from you besides what we just heard? All right. So right after that, they go to Down and Dirty, and it's first they show a recap from last week when the Dirty White Boy jumped Smothers at the end of his match, and then they air the Down and Dirty with Smothers and Dutch Mantel. So let's listen in what goes on there.
Wait a minute here. Okay, we saw what happened last week. Tracy Smothers, my special guest on Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm going to ask you something, Tracy. You're the next man who wants to try to wrest that Smoky Mountain heavyweight title away from the Dirty White Boy. And it's going to have to be done in a chain match. Let me tell you one thing. The chain match is Dirty White Boy's home ground, his home turf. He was passed a legacy from Ron Wright, and you're stepping in his backyard. You think you can take the title away from the White Boy in his own match?
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Dutch Mantel, and I'm going to tell every man, woman, and child in Hayside, Virginia, and the millions of people watching this TV right now, I'm going to stick that chain up that Dirty White Boy's buttocks sideways. Hey, Dirty White Boy, you got a lot of dues to pay, man. You burnt the Confederate flag. You cost me $5,000, and you cost me the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title. Ron Wright, you come out here and you say you hate these hillbillies, and you say you hate the coal miners. Well, then you hate me because I'm just like all of them. My gosh, I'm a Southern boy, Southern red thoroughbred. Guaranteed not to rust, bust. I'm going to tell you this now. I know that was your specialty, but let me tell you this, pal. That's all in the past. Babe Ruth used to hit home runs, and O.J. Simpson used to run touchdowns, Dutch Mantel. The ball game's over, pal. I don't care if you bring King Kong and Godzilla himself. In these chain matches, I'm going to be the next Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion.
All right, fans, there you heard it. From the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy's mother's a man who wants to be the next Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion. Don't go away. We got to pay some bills. We'll be back.
Doc, go ahead.
I have to imagine that there's, in my mind, there's a monitor in what constitutes gorilla position in Hayside, Virginia. And I know there's probably not, but I'm just thinking about it this way. And I'm thinking that this gorilla position around this monitor, they're sitting there kind of in two folding chairs, leaning forward. They got their forearms on their thighs watching this. And it's Cornette and it's Horner. And when this is over, Cornette just slowly looks over at Horner and goes, "That's why you're not the champ, motherfucker." you know, because he gets out there and there's subtle things he does. And this isn't, I mean, he has his normal rap and all that. But this is not the first time he said it, but it's a very subtle thing to say the millions of people watching at home, making it seem like they're big league when they're still in the Smoky Mountains. That's a nice touch. Then he threw that hat down. So, man, he's getting fired up. But the one thing I popped on, because it's fun for Smoky Mountain, is my note was OJ's. This is OJ's first appearance or mention on Smoky Mountain TV, but it won't be his last.
Yeah, you're right about that. Harper, what'd you have from this?
I liked how he explained why they had beef, and he connected himself to the fan base by saying, you know, if you hate them, you hate me because I'm just like these people.
Man, that was great.
That's a one note I had too.
I love the OJ deal because I was like, OJ, what the fuck's he? That's, I was thinking, oh, okay, this must be about a year or two prior to the fucking
to New Jack you're talking about?
No, fucking OJ from when he fucking killed people.
Well, I thought I thought you meant the when New Jack says it, because we talked about that on the flagship show too.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. You're right about that. The year before, you nailed it. I agree, man. When he said Ron Wright likes to talk about the hillbillies and coal miners, well, you must hate me too, because I'm just like these people. These are my, you know, it's like just the connection with them, and man, they're loving it, man. He's waving a flag. They're loving, man. He's fired up, and I can imagine, Doc, like you told Cornette when we talked to him, Tim Horner was in the back and he kicked over a trash can.
Yep.
Because right after that, we get this from Tim Horner.
All right, fans, with us right now, here's White Lightning, Tim Horner, and Tim, no doubt, Jim Cornette and Bobby Eaton cost you a lot of money.
Well, you know, last week, Bob, I was well on my way to winning $5,000. And Bobby Eaton, I know I could have beat Bobby Eaton. I had two wins under my belt. All I had to do was win one more. I knew I could beat Bobby Eaton, and so did that no-good Jim Cornette. That's why he jumped in there and hit me in the head with that tennis racket. Well, let me tell you something, Bobby Eaton. I'm not taking this lightly. That was $5,000. That's a lot of money, Bob. That's a lot of money. So I put $5,000 of my own money up, and I've heard that they put their $5,000 up. So I'm challenging you, Bobby Eaton. Somewhere across Smoky Mountain Wrestling area, I'm going to get you, and I'm going to get that $5,000 back.
All right, Tim Horner with that challenge match to Bobby Eaton, and I'm sure, or at least he's...
Harper, you want to go first this time?
He's so emotionally invested. There's just so much charisma shooting out of him. What the fuck?
It's like bottle rockets on...
Yeah.
It's like bottle rockets on New Year's Eve. God damn.
Whatever.
for real. Doc, go ahead.
So, my note here was the Horner's like a damn broad. He's spending money that he ain't won yet. That's $5,000. Bro, you won two matches. That's $2,000. That's some broad logic, like... Yeah, but I saved so much money because everything was on sale. Yeah, but we didn't need that shit.
Right. So you got taken to the cleaners.
So he's out. So here's how stupid he is. He's ready to put up $5,000 of his own money when he only won $2,000. What kind of shit logic is that? I just sat there and he's like, you cost me $5,000.
Bro,
Why is he always whining about somebody else costing him something?
Hey, can I tell you something? What are the odds that the Cornette purposely positioned that after Tracy's promo?
It's like, well, after the editing that goes on in next week's episode, I'd like to think the answer is it is, but I'm not sure they put that much time into how they position these shows.
Well, yeah, I guess, but God, like I sat there and just had a blank look on my face when I watched this.
Me too.
I was like,
me too. I was like, what the fuck, dude? And then I was like, no, it went from blank to he's not doing this right. Not only does he not have emotion, but he's not doing this right. He's got his math wrong, and he's always complaining and bitching about something. You know, because here's the thing. Because, well, but here's the thing. The difference is Morton and Smothers, you got over on me. Yeah, Smothers will say these are the toughest matches of my life, and you got that Ron right. But I'm going to blow my lip. And Morton's like, I'm going to shove that stuff up your rear end. And Horner's whining like, I'm going to write a check for $5,000 and put it up against you. Shut the fuck up.
Here's another note.
He's the most effective heel in the damn promotion.
Unintended heel. I had this. How much did Horner beg Jim Cornette for the airtime on this week's TV after not having a promo in like 2 or 3 weeks? Come on, Jimmy.
You know,
Jimmy,
I hadn't been on in a while.
Right, Jimmy. I mean, I ain't been on in a while, Jimmy. Jimmy, come on.
Yeah,
man,
really,
huh? Can you give me a minute?
How am I not going to sell these lightning bolts if I'm not on TV?
I mean, come on. Yeah, Jimmy, I got a garage full of lightning bolts. Jimmy, can you give me some promo time, please? I mean, I don't know. All right, let's. Anything else, Hopper, from you?
I like what he says. Jim Cornette costs me money. I'm thinking it's probably the other way around.
Well, if you listen to Cornette tell it, he certainly did.
Well, in case you were wondering who's was going to win the Tim Horner Award of the Week, I think we have our answer.
Yeah, we might have it. Okay. Next match is Jimmy Golden versus Bobby Eaton. I realize this is supposed to be heel versus heel match, and Golden may use heel tactics, but, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Golden is like the babyface in this match, mm-hmm. especially when Cornette starts getting involved using his racket. You know, Fuller comes out to even things up, but, I mean, you know, Jimmy Golden is the de facto babyface here. I'm guessing you all both caught that. Did you, Hopper?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same from you, Doc. Well, in the match, Golden ends up hitting his great drop kick, but Cornette puts Eaton's foot on a rope. Then Golden has Eaton in an abdominal stretch, but Cornette gets involved and hits Golden. Eaton then pins Golden to get the win or to retain. Before we know it, it's a wild time in the ring because the Heavenly Bodies hit the ring. Dutch hits the ring to help out the Studs, and you know they chase everyone off. Doc, what did you have from the match?
I thought Dutch was working hard on color to, you know, he was stretching out on this match. I thought it was pretty real slow build. Again, going back to the idea that these matches on this show took longer. And my note beforehand is these two guys look like they can drink beer and fight.
Yeah, I would agree. Harper, what'd you have?
Jimmy Golden's starting to look like a face.
They've been doing this, man. This
yeah.
is...
and.
I think it's natural because the heels are – Cornette is such a heel, and the Heavenly Bodies are as well, that it's like people just hate them more than anybody else to me. But what else were you saying? Sorry.
That guy, for like a second, it goes into the crowd, and that guy that
oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he looks like he's under witness protection with a fake beard.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck, man?
God. That's why. Why do you think Dutch said it looks like Deliverance in that piece?
Fuck.
Looks like something damn. You'd find washed up on the shore after your hurricane in this week.
That's nice. That's nice of y'all to say. Okay. We'll keep it moving here. So after that, we got a promo with Fuller, Golden, and Dutch. So let's listen and see what they have to say after the match.
All right, fans, right now here's the Studs table, Rollin' Fuller, the Jimmy Golden. We got a little preview there of what I think a street fight's going to be like.
I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got no preview. You got Jim Cornette meddling from the outside as usual. You meddle against the three of the Studs stable, son, and it ain't going to be no picnic. I'm going to guarantee you one thing. Dutch Mantel and Jimmy Golden and the Tennessee Stud can't sleep at night thinking about one thing, a three-team street fight. Anything goes. Come as you are. Bring what you want. I'm going to guarantee you something, Cornette. And you go out there, all you people, and tell your pretty boy Rock and Roll Express, because they're going to get a taste of the same. The Stud Stable is going to go hard on everybody in Smoky Mountain. And one thing's going to be proven. This right here is the finest team this darn area ever seen.
All right, fans, the Stud Stable and the street fights. That's going to be something to behold.
All right, Doc, you first.
It's just clear that some people can cut promos and some people can't. And it, at some point it gets to be, it almost doesn't matter what Fuller says. The way he says things is entertaining and interesting and worth listening to.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Harper, what'd you have?
I was thinking, where's Jimmy Golden, man? Fucking cat got his tongue.
He looked like he was blowing, bro. He looked like he was sucking for some air over there. I think that's what that boiled down to. I the main thing I had from it was, man, look, I've watched ahead, obviously. I know who wins this thing. But the best part about that feud was, you legit could have had any three of those teams win, and it wouldn't have been a spoiler of any sort. Like, you wouldn't have been like, oh, I thought they were going to win. Oh, I thought they were going to win. That's the best part about it. I mean, nowadays you watch things, and you're like, well, I know who's going to retain. I mean, for the most part, it's just predictable. This ain't predictable, man. And like you said, Doc, when Robert Fuller starts talking, it's not even a matter of what he says. It's just that he's saying it. I mean, he looks like you say, he put his beard down. He came out there and he cut a promo. Well, I guess it's my time. Let me put this beer down. Baby's got a pot roast on. Time to go cut my promo. And he goes out there and he delivers, 40 seconds of a promo, and he walks off and just goes, sits back down and keeps drinking his beer.
And then he walks back to the back and looks at Horner and goes, that's how you do it, little feller.
Hopper, anything else from you on the promo?
Nah.
Yeah, me either. All right,
you should get – hey – You know, you got Ron Fuller on the show. You should get his brother.
Man,
you need
trying.
To get on that. You need to get
trying.
On that.
Yeah.
I'm trying. I will say this. I am trying to get him. That is one dude I want to talk to. From Smoky Mountain to WCW. I want to hear him tell me the baby's got a pot roast on story just because it's so good. You know? So, yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying. We're working on it. No promises, but we're working on it. Okay. So after that promo, then, well, now it's time for Jim Cornette and Heavenly Bodies to come tell their part. So here that is.
All right, fans, we just heard, of course, from the Stud Stable, and here is Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. I tell you, the Stable, they're ready, Jim.
Ready for what? Ready for what? Ready for the retirement home? Ready for Alcoholics Anonymous? What are they ready for? Maybe they're ready to go home. Yeah, you'd hate to be in my shoes because they'd be real tight on those big fat feet of yours. I'll tell you what the Stud Stable are ready for. The Stud Stable are ready to sit at home on Sunday afternoon, put their feet up, drink beer like the rest of these rednecks, and watch football, and leave this competing in sports to the real men. Beautiful Bobby, the TV champion, beat the champ title holder, the Heavenly Bodies, the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, and Stud Stable, the street fight match, the three-team street fight match is going to take care of you real handily. But as for the Rock and Roll Express, I've come to the conclusion that Rock and Roll, we can beat you, we can break your leg, break your neck, break your arm, we can hurt you time after time after time, and it still won't get rid of you because you don't know when to quit. You're so stupid, you don't know when you're beat. So I tell you what we're going to do to the Rock and Roll Express. We're going to embarrass Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson right out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We're going to embarrass them out of the whole organization and maybe all of wrestling combined. Because if we can't beat them out, then we'll laugh them out. And now, you see what I got here in my pocket? You see, Bob Armstrong ain't here today. He's probably out trying to find some way to con somebody else out of something. But I got a little injunction here. Because you see, so far, the Beat the Champ challenger is picked at the top of every program. Whoever the champion is doesn't have time to respond or react or train or plan. Well, this changes all that. Because I argued in court, and rightfully so, that a man needs a chance to prepare for his challenger. So this injunction means that the Beat the Champ challenger will be picked now every week, a week ahead. Okay. And what I want you to do right now, I want you to get that hat full of names, and I want you to pick Bobby Eaton's challenger in next week's program. Go ahead.
Hey,
I'm sick and tired of all these ringers you've been picking. Jimmy Golden, you think that was chance? You think I believe that? You're crazy.
I'll hold it.
We can whip anybody. Makes no difference, though.
I'm not looking. You can see I'm not looking.
Slap the taste out of their mouth.
Oh, my golly.
Who is it?
You want to read it or you want me to read it?
You read it. I don't want to read it. I don't care.
I want you to look at it. Tom Pritchard. Tom Pritchard. There it is, Jim.
Wait a minute. What's these other names say? They're all the same. They got to be all the same. Well, wait a minute. I tell you what. I'm gonna tear this injunction up.
No, we don't need the injunction.
We don't need the injunction. Would you? No.
I wouldn't mind having a match anyway.
Tom doesn't want the match. Tom does not want the match. He doesn't want the match.
I think you did a hell of a job, Bob. I'll take the match with you.
There's no reason for this.
You and Bob Armstrong.
Stan, we got to get him out of here.
Let's go, guys. Right now. All right, fans, you saw it, and that's it for the next week for a Beat the Champ match.
Okay, Doc, you go first. I love this, but I want to hear what your thoughts were.
Well, if you're playing the Dr. Tom hair fluffing booze game, I feel sorry for your liver and everything else. Good God, he was working it over. Stan's shirt, that purple tie dye for skull caps, popped me.
It's so 93.
Yeah, I love Jim's reaction and blaming Caudle for all this. That made me, you know, that was really good stuff. I like the fact that they're doing the underlying, that the angles have nuance to them, because it's enough. It is enough to have these nine guys getting ready to go fight each other. The star power in those nine guys is tremendous. But underneath all that, the champs are having dissension. And they're teasing, you know, this Dr. Tom and Eaton thing. And then, you know, Corny's doing his managerial best to help Eaton keep the Beat the Champ title, and it backfires. So there's that angle. So just really, really good stuff all around. I enjoyed the shit out of this.
Yeah, it was good. Harper, what did you think?
I was thinking, how many of these people know what an injunction is?
Oh, I bet they do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shot at the people, Doc. Damn.
This kind of reminded me when the Stud Stable and the Heavenly Bodies first kind of started feuding, where it was like, hey, you know, I'll wrestle you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come on, you know? I have no problem doing it.
I wouldn't mind having a match.
Right.
Whoa. That was an awesome line.
Right. Yeah. And that's what popped into my head, seeing this.
Yeah, I agree, man. Cornette, he's ripping the hillbillies as usual. Mm-hmm. Then he's got another injunction. Remember, he had that injunction a while back. I can't even remember what that one was for. But where the Heavenly Bodies didn't have to wrestle the Rock and Roll for the tag titles back a few months back. He thinks the injunction is going to work in Eaton's favor, and then it backfires where Pritchard's name gets picked, and Jim is upset. But he's like a parent trying to freaking handle three kids. It's like he's playing referee with a bunch of kids fighting. It's crazy, man. I love this. This is good. This is really, to me, you know, you could look at this. Sometimes you look at this episode and go, man, this might be like a lame duck episode. But I think Cornette did a good job of producing this episode to where there was some life in it. You know, with the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright at the beginning and then this promo. I think they did good the way they positioned all this, to be honest with you. Because it could have been a lame duck just, you know, episode because you're day after the big show. But it wasn't. So anyway, good stuff there. Doc, anything else from you?
Mm-mm.
All right, so then, fuck, then we get into this shit. I don't even, let me just play it.
Fans, before we go to the ring for our main event, let's take a look now and get an update on Kevin Sullivan's psychiatric therapy. I don't really know, Dutch, whether the doctor's making him well or whether he's making the doctor sick, but let's watch it, fans.
Oh, what a lovely bunch of grapes. You know, sometimes this therapy gets real hard. But Brian Lee, Jimmy Horner, or anybody else that wants to get in my way. You see, Smoky Mountain Wrestling is paying for my therapy, and I'm feeling a lot better. But it isn't going to stop me from doing what I want to do, because I have been persecuted, I have been looked down upon, and I have been made to feel unwelcome in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I'm going to take this out on everybody, starting with that horsehead Brian Lee. You see, Brian Lee, when I get through with you, all the king's horses, all the king's men ain't going to glue your big head back together again. It's going to go this way, Brian Lee. It's a lovely bunch of grapes, and the grapes of wrath are going to fall on your head. I'm feeling a lot better.
Doc?
There's a line in the movie Spinal Tap, and I'm not even going to ask. I know better. That is very poignant. It says there's a fine line between clever and stupid. It's really hard for me to believe that anybody but Kevin Sullivan could pull this off well. I like it. I think it's great because I'm a Kevin Sullivan guy, and I think he's awesome. But I don't know many other guys that could pull this off. But really, if you just want to title this segment, I would just reduce it to grapes and titties.
Yeah.
Woman made her appearance back in there. Could spot her from a mile away.
Hopper, your thoughts? Grapes and titties too?
Woman, yeah, bro. Got you looking good, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Always liked her, man. Liked her. Yeah, she was looking good. God bless her. God bless her. She was looking good. This shit. The visual with him enjoying some grapes with woman dangling the grapes so Sullivan can eat them, and then Sullivan just taking it, just going talking crazy. Then he's quoting Humpty fucking Dumpty. Doc, you hit it. Nobody else, I don't know if anybody else could have pulled that off. I don't. This was like a perfect thing for him. It was perfect. And that's all I could say.
Because not only that, then he goes, he moves from Humpty Dumpty, which is a, you know, obviously a preschool nursery rhyme, right, to the Grapes of Wrath, which is great American literature.
Right. Right. Oh, man. And in the meantime, all three of us are sitting there going, man, titties. Look at woman's titties.
What's up, girl?
Move those grapes just a little bit. So,
boy. Yeah, man. All right. Anything else, Doc?
Mm-mm.
Hopper?
No.
All right. So we go to the last match. It is Primetime Brian Lee and Tim Horner versus Kevin Sullivan and Night Stalker. Horner and Primetime Brian Lee are attacked from the beginning before they can even get to the ring. But Horner and Primetime Brian Lee, they do fight back quickly. Dutch reminds us about Sullivan butchering Kanemura. Mm. I think Dutch said Kanemura needed 126 stitches. I like Mark Curtis, but there was one point in this match where a tag was evident for the faces. And Mark Curtis, at the exact moment that a tag was about to happen, Curtis looks away. I was like, damn, that looked too pre-planned to me. But anyway, so
way to make fun of the dead, pal.
No, I just that was one thing in the match. I was like, damn, he looks away, and because he looked away, Night Stalker was coming into the ring. You know, it just Primetime Brian Lee finally makes the hot tag to Horner, though. Horner ends up getting in there with Night Stalker, and Horner holds his own and actually has Night Stalker pinned, although there's no ref. And then once again, Taz makes an appearance in this wild finish where he is trying to help Sullivan and Night Stalker, but Taz ends up hurting Night Stalker, his own man. Long story short, after a bunch of shenanigans, Horner and Primetime Brian Lee get the win. Doc, I said a lot there. What were your thoughts on the match?
I thought at the 43-minute mark, Night Stalker was real sloppy with Primetime Brian Lee, and I was afraid the Horsehead was going to get hurt. I wonder how much Horner had to lobby to get that pin. Jimmy, I need to get my heat. Jimmy, I need to get my heat. I've lost my heat since I lost that Beat the Champ.
This was just
another long match, which goes back to our premise of what you know, the whole overall plan was here.
Yeah. Hopper, what about anything from you?
I was thinking, this is the first time I heard him say he's from Singapore, Kevin Sullivan. And that must be their, like, go-to for, like, crazy people. It's Singapore.
I thought they may have mentioned it before, but maybe I'm thinking about the NWA show with T.J. Khan from Singapore.
I'm surprised they didn't make him from Phuket, Thailand.
Oh, jeez.
Phuket?
Yeah, I don't know. Anything else, Hopper?
Nah, I mean, y'all covered everything.
Pretty much. So, from there... I'll do this first. There's a local promo, but I'm going to jump to the Sullivan promo first. The Sullivan promo with Night Stalker and I guess I should say Tasmaniac and not Taz, right, Doc?
Probably.
Oh, but they haven't said his name yet either, have they?
No.
Yeah, so let's. I'll still call him a Tasmaniac, so here it is.
Tell you something, and everybody that is surrounded by me, that follows me, better listen real good. You see, in wars, in battles, if the soldiers can't follow the general's orders, things don't turn out the way they should be. You see, if the general, meaning me, sends you into battle, I don't take mistakes. You see, I buried all my mistakes about 120 feet in the ocean. One thing I demand is total respect and total dedication for the cause. If you go to an abyss and look down at the abyss long enough, the abyss will call for you and you'll jump in. So what I'm saying to you, Stalker, is no more mistakes.
Master, I did not make a mistake. I don't know where you let this painted face go from, but you know I will follow you loyally. I've never made a mistake.
Well, let me tell you something, Stalker, and I'll make it real clear. Don't forget who the master is and who the follower is.
Fans, that from Kevin Sullivan.
Hopper, I'll go to you first. What did you think about that this time?
Oh, it's just like I got lost. He seemed like he's talking about the abyss and all, and then I could tell you it's just when a stalker starts talking and I hear that southern drawl, it's like it kind of ruins it.
Yeah, when he's young too here too. I mean Cornette even said it. He was hot. Cornette has said on his show a lot of times, like, man, he was really, really young in the business at that point.
Yeah. So it's that southern draw kills it for me because he sounds like some guy that works at the truck stop off the interstate or something.
Doc, what'd you have?
So here's the thing, pal.
Goddamn, pal.
I'm a huge Kevin Sullivan fan. I listened to his podcast today. He used to scare the shit out of me back in the 80s. I have a long relationship with the man. His only downfall in life is that he's short. And he can't help that. And he does more than just about anybody else to overcome that. But Taz, and I liked Taz for a long time in the ring. Taz is short too. So it looks like a midget rebellion when they're both going to attack Night Stalker. And it doesn't look like they... it doesn't look right. It's visually off-putting.
It doesn't look believable.
And then Nightstalker's talking, so I'm like, well, fuck how, if you're short or not, just attack this big motherfucker. He shouldn't be talking. So, there you go. It's all right. This will all get, they don't let this one linger, though. This will get resolved pretty quick.
Yeah, it resolves pretty quick. And actually, the only other note I have from
it. In fact, you could say it's already resolved by the time it comes out on TV.
Yeah, it really is. the note I had was, damn, I knew Taz was short. But shit, he's shorter than Sullivan, man.
Right.
Or it looks like it on the camera. On
yeah.
The camera. All right. Okay, so yeah, I can't add anything. I mean, you both pretty much had my notes as well. So before that aired, let's air the quick local promo from Cornette. Here it is. This was in between the main event and the final promo. So let's hear what Cornette has to say.
School Smoky Mountain Wrestling will be there. You're going to see Kevin Sullivan against Primetime Brian Lee, the Dirty White Boy against Tracy Smothers for the title, and you'll also see a Smoky Mountain street fight, the Rock and Roll Express against the Heavenly Bodies, managed by Jim Cornette.
You know, I wish I could do this symbolically. I might add, I'm doing this. I wish I could do this to everybody in Paintsville. There's a whole lot of ugly people up there. I remember last time I was there, had a whole bunch of problems with Ken Cantrell and that whole volunteer fire department. You know Cantrell, he's a convicted arsonist. Do you realize that? He's on the volunteer fire department. They're sponsoring the thing. Jason Blanton at that radio station, what is WSIP, ought to be WRIP, rest in peace. Their ratings died when Jason went on the air. But let me tell you something. There's going to be some other things that are going to be making their fond farewell to the world in Paintsville, Kentucky. Among them, the Rock and Roll Express's wrestling career. I hope Ricky Morton's a good singer. I know he's not, but I hope he is. I hope maybe he's a good dancer. I hope maybe they can style hair. Maybe Robert Gibson could be one of those dummies that they dress clothes on in a department store window. They better find something else to do because it's a Smoky Mountain street fight in Paintsville. Anything goes. Wear anything you want to wear. Bring anything you want to bring. And only the strong survive. Well, the Rock and Roll Express and the Heavenly Bodies are going to meet head up in Paintsville at that Paintsville High School. And everybody that was there last time knows how good we are. It's going to be a fight, and we're going to win it. Right there in Paintsville and Cantrell. Don't get in my face. I'll slap you, too. Let me tell you.
Okay. I wanted to play that for two reasons. He keeps talking about Ken Cantrell, who is actually a friend of Cornette's, which I think is
was.
Funny. Still is.
Okay. Well, isn't he the guy who was running security or fire department, and that's where they killed the town because the gangsters were riling up the locals in a bad way?
Yeah, but he wasn't mad at Ken for that. It was just one of those things where it's like people were mad at Jim or were mad at them for doing security, and all they were doing is their jobs and whatnot. So, but no, they're good friends to this day. Ken actually, he listens to the show and he runs a promotion.
Well, hi Ken. I'm sorry that Mike had to say those things about you. We enjoy your fine work up there putting out fires for the fire department.
Shut the fuck up.
Hey, but anyway, do you think it's easy to put out a bunch of moonshine when it explodes, pal? Or
no, I don't think so.
Labs that blow up? That's not an easy, easy proposition to deal with.
Yeah, you see the Breaking Bad? You see
when those
fucking rednecks start making that shit?
Okay. All right. Damn, Harper.
What? Shit.
Not, man, I mean, why you got to make fun of the rednecks all the time, dude?
I don't. They make fun of themselves.
Harper, stop making fun of the rednecks. I mean, come on, man. All right, let's do this now. So, everybody, if you're not a patron, please consider becoming one. We do 8 free shows a month. Go to tinyurl.com/bttpatron. Yes, we're begging for your money. I admit it. Again, it's tinyurl.com/bttpatron. Get access to the patron-only episodes, access to the WCCW shows, which, by the way, Doc and Harper, I hit a WCCW show this week where we now have gotten rid of that Funkadelic music.
Oh,
and
God.
Yeah, that Funkadelic music is gone, and things are starting to turn in, I think it's late April of 82 now. Things are starting to, it's starting to move better. Doc, you know how you said, remember the episodes we did, the patron episode we did where you were like, man, the production is terrible. Well, now they've got the cameras on the floor finally. They're film. You know what I'm saying? That the things that they did that no one else was doing.
They're figuring it out.
Yeah, yeah. Let me say this. The early stages of it are getting set
Fritz
into motion.
And, Fritz in his 40th year in the business is starting to figure out how to present the product.
Yeah, it's finally working out that way. So it's actually, it wasn't much longer than after that episode that we did where Kerry said, "I'm a cloud. How did he say it, Harper?
I'm a cloud. And when I get that belt, I'm not going to be in the clouds anymore."
So if you want access to the Patreon episodes, again, it's tinyurl.com/BDZPatron. Thank you to the Hall of Fame patrons, JShiny21, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider91US, Justin Rasmussen, at ShepDaddy32, USC 49ers Dodger, Gerald Green III, T-Hog94, SV Pageant, Martin House 71, Tim Oreche, Coldman822, Gobbled, Unreal, and Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patron members. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BDZPatron. Let's hand out some disability checks. Doc, what are you giving this week's?
This is one of those ones that, like you said, would be very easy to just sleepwalk through. And I don't think they did that, but I do think they were sort of running the ball and trying to run clock here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give it a 7.5.
It's funny you say that because I had a 7.25. Harper, what were you giving it?
I was going to give it a solid 8. Just an 8.
Okay. So you didn't think they wasted too much time?
They did waste time for those matches.
Yeah, they did. They ran the clock out, as Doc said. It was like football.
Yeah. But that promo to fucking start it off was just fucking gold.
Yeah, well, that was so great. And then, like, the other part, too, is, so, Doc, think back to when we first started doing this, right before Harper joined us, around episode 18, 19, or 20. You had told me, you were like, bruh, it starts skewing your results once you watch ahead. I think back to some of those first episodes that I gave, like, sevens to, and it's like, shit. We might be talking about this as them running the clock, but you look back to like episodes 3 and 4, this might be running the clock out, but it's still better than that.
You used to, if you go back and listen to those people, he used to just bury me for my low ratings, and I'm like, I know what's getting ready to happen. And let me tell you, we are in that zone right now where I don't think it would be possible for them to dip below a 7 unless it's a recap of things we've already seen, not recapping new events.
Right. So, and I hadn't seen that yet. That's why, right, like, my ratings were all fucked.
This is all consistently on autopilot, good, and then good every time out, and then can they break through and be great? And you're starting to see that more and more, too.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Okay, so Doc, what about Government Cheese? Who, for a longtime listener, Shard Johnson, named this award. Who's getting a Government Cheese from you?
Well, I don't know that you can use Government Cheese to treat asthmatic bronchitis, but I sure hope it helps him feel better while he tries. I don't think there's any question that Rod Wright, in my book, deserves the cheese.
Hopper, you?
Woman's tits.
luscious titties.
She gets the cheese.
Are you serious?
Should just stick it between the titties and eat it. You could eat the cheese from her boobs.
That's nice.
I wonder how old she was in 93.
Hold on.
While Doc's Googling it, I'll tell you my Government Cheese. Are you serious about that, Harper? Woman's tits?
Yeah, why not?
Woman's tits gets the cheese. Okay, I gotta get mine to Ron Wright too. Although when Harper said woman's tits, I'd have been like, that would have been a good one for the Government Cheese. I don't know if I'd want my titties to smell like cheese though.
Ooh, damn.
What,
dude? Kevin Sullivan had her down there in a string bikini in Florida when she was young.
Okay,
This is early 93.
Uh-huh.
God damn, she's 29 years old.
Wow. Yeah, that means she was like 18 years old when she was in a bikini.
What it means is she was like 21 or 20. But still.
Yeah, she was young. Wow.
Sullivan was like 37.
Wow. Oh, boy. Rest in peace, Nancy. Rest in peace. Okay. That's going to wrap things up. Check out our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon.
Sullivan's 15 years older than her.
Ooh! Oh, wow. Papa was... Never mind. I wonder if she called him daddy. No, I'm kidding. Damn. Rest in peace, woman. But you got the government cheese.
She can't hear you. Papa. She's dead.
That's nice, Doc.
Grandstanding,
again,
motherfucker.
Nobody's grandstanding. Go to tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon and use that link. Give it to your wives and girlfriends. Use it. It's a great way to help support the show. Check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Check us out on Twitter at BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper's at CJH. Who dat? And I have kind of gotten relaxed on this lately, but go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever the hell it's called now, and give us a 5-star review. We've gotten a bunch of new ones lately, and I appreciate everybody out there who's giving us the 5-star reviews. But we could always use some more. And,
I got an idea.
What's that? Well, go ahead.
If you want to make the Patron Hall of Fame, here's an idea for what you can do. Sure, you can go leave your 5-star review and fillet Harper and us digitally. Or, I know you guys are nerdy computer types out there. Why don't you develop some sort of bot that just goes in repeatedly and just jacks up our 5-star ratings so that we are at the top of the ratings?
I actually think that's like possible already.
So what if you want to be, maybe if you do this and you can prove it, obviously you'll get in the Hall of Fame, but maybe Mike will send you a shirt or come give you a hand job or something.
Yeah.
Let's keep the hand job out of this, okay?
We'll turn out the lights so that you don't have to look at it and they don't have to look at you.
Thank God.
A mouth is a mouth, brah.
I mean, could you imagine Mike be like, are you close? Fuck. Fuck. How long is this going to take?
What's They do a line of coke and drink a fifth of whiskey and can't come. You're there for 12 hours jerking off a bloody dick.
Oh, I haven't done this in a while, but...
Jesus!
It was probably worth it. Or...
Oh,
did you get there yet?
That's for later.
All right, guys. I'm trying to think, man. I don't really have anything else. So check out the Pro Wrestling Tee store, I guess, as well. It's on facebook.com/bookingtheterritory if you click shop now, or it's in the show notes. And check out the Tee Public store. There's lots of different designs on the Tee Public store you should check out, like the Ron Wright shirt. And I say Baby's Got a Pot Roast on and Busting Them Guts Out and whatnot may be on there as well, and being blessed and being a blessing. Other than that,
yeah, I say, Baby's Got a Pot Roast on.
I ain't got nothing else. Listen to my friends, the wrestling podcast about nothing. WPAN, just search it. And Doc, you got anything?
No.
Hopper, anything?
No.
All right, man, let's get out of here. Let's go do the next episode, man, where we're going to do Bluegrass Brawl. Unfortunately, you won't hear it till next week. From Mike and Doc and Hardbody Harper, hit the tagline and take us home.
Book it, bitch.